God, this is a real problem.
Pablo
guys.
Brought the bad hair energy.
I know we all stink.
We should just do the intro
need,
like this.
I'll be right back.
Do you want me to
right
just do
back.
The welcome to Highly Questionable and warn everyone?
Wait, don't get up.
Yeah, no, you can do it, but I you can do it.
Okay, welcome to Highly Questionable. We're all having a bad hair day, and that's fine, right? So now that we've said it, you can't say it to us. And we can all just get on with the show. That's Monica McNutt. We got Pablo Torre. Pablo's, I think, is arguing.
I need product. I'll be right back. I need product.
Okay.
Is Mike Budenholzer right to be frustrated with the refereeing in game one?
I mean, this question's always interesting to me because it's like, is he right to be frustrated? It's like, well, yeah, because I think you'd get frustrated if the other team got 26 free throws, whereas you got 16, and only two people who weren't named Giannis went to the free throw line. I understand the frustration, but then you think about, is it right to be out here talking about it? And he's very careful, Bud, when he does this. He didn't say, I think he even joked about, like, you guys trying to bait me into saying something. So he didn't necessarily say something. Look, I think it's expressing a frustration that anyone would have while also being gentle to the fact that you can't really criticize or blame something other than your own actions. It's a big thing for a coach. It's also a big thing for a coach to campaign for calls a couple days before your next game. I understand it completely. I have no fault there. I don't think Bud is at fault in any way in this. I will say, adjustments have been the big thing about him. That's been the narrative for this playoffs. And before we started, you two seemed to disagree on whether or not he did that in game one, if he was able to adjust. To me, that's the more interesting conversation, but go ahead and answer the part about free throws.
Wow, I want to adjust this topic, Katie. Sure, but Monica, go ahead.
The free throw thing, there were some calls that I thought were questionable, but they're on the road. Phoenix is at home. That's kind of how it goes. So I don't mind this from Bud. I mean, he's got to throw everything, throw the whole kitchen sink, whatever, make it all stick at the wall. This is his last shot to get it done. Those adjustments, well, the big adjustments come now between game one and two.
Yeah, what I'd say in defense of Bud to now just totally give in to Katie's framing of this topic is that he did like go to like the switching defense a lot, Monica, right? He got criticized for just doing the drop thing. Brooke Lopez got cooked. They switched, and guess what? His entire defense still got cooked. So I'm not saying Bud is a great coach. I'm just saying he's trying kitchen sinky type stuff. The free throws, though, like what's frustrating if you're him, I think, especially, is that this team, the Bucks, have a really, really good defense that is really, really good at defending without fouling historically. That history kind of exploded in game one, where obviously the numbers are what they are. And I think the even greater frustration might be, like, this is – the Suns are just so good at shooting free throws anyway. Like, it's kind of like when a billionaire also finds another tax loophole. It's like, guys, they've been, like, best in the league for 3 years running. They're basically close to 90% as a team from the foul line. Do they really need any more help? The answer is no, but they got it anyway, and I do think the referees should be on watch because – that very monotone voice of Mike Budenholzer might become slightly less monotone, so be very afraid of that.
Ooh, slightly less monotone. I'm shaking in my boots.
Is Miami's potential sponsorship deal a sign of major changes coming for college athletes?
Well, we knew some major changes were coming with name, image, and likeness now being a thing that athletes are allowed to profit off of. But there was this deal or, offer announced on Tuesday by Dan Lambert, who owns an MMA gym in Florida called American Top Team, that he would be paying $500 to every scholarship player. That's 90 players on the team, $500 a month. To basically promote the gym, which I find interesting given the fact that college athletes have access to gyms, really nice gyms. And I think the chances that they'll be going to American Top Team to use the gym, to me, and I'm just guessing, is like less than another person who needs a place to work out. So I just find it funny. But at the same time, who cares? Let the players get paid. But it sort of exposes this thing now where a lot of players, coaches, people involved in the business of college sports have expressed that this would be catastrophic and this could never happen. And then you have the people who are like, this is actually going to even out parity across the NCAA teams because some schools will be able to just offer money to offset the fact that they have things that not much else to offer, again, is the nicest way to say that. So you've got people on both sides. But one thing that we are seeing right now is the murkiness of who's in charge of coordinating these things. What sort of compliance is there that they have to follow? It seems like the rules are kind of different. A lot of it is left up to each school. And so that seems like it might end up being a mess, but I'd like to stress that to me, that doesn't mean that this step, this important step, is itself a mess. It's just that you find out once you do something, there's a lot of little things you forgot to think about before you did it. And I feel like that might happen.
Yeah, there are plenty of like unintended consequences to come from this, because guess what? An entire financial market had been restricted against the law, it turns out. Like, that shouldn't have ever really happened. And so now you have to deal with all of this money rushing in. And just congratulations to Miami and Florida for, of course, being first to market on a scheme that already is having people wonder, like, wait a minute, this is legal now? Because you're basically just paying players, but the school isn't doing it. This other entity on behalf of the school is doing it. So players are getting paid, but at the same time, like, they're not. And that seems to be very Florida, honestly, all of that legal ambiguity. The larger thing, though, about like how much is this going to change the sport? Keep in mind, the sport was already obviously like the preeminent mess that we have in the American sports industrial complex. Like, the inequities between the giant winners at the top and everyone else has been massive forever. Like, what are we afraid of? One school is going to get all of the good players like Alabama has been doing for decades now? Like, that's already the case. If anything, it gives, as Katie said, schools with more, what's another good way to put that? A creative accounting, a gumption to like come in and say, hey, we also sell fit tea now. Do you guys want to sell fit tea for us in exchange for what is definitely not a salary? Like, we're going to get lots of deals like that. So buyer beware for the players, but also go get paid.
To take what you said, Pablo, on a more micro level, even within the team, I can remember when social first started to hit, Instagram was popping when I was getting ready to graduate. I feel like I just dated myself a little bit. But anyway, I had teammates who like took to it instantly and had followers. And I was honestly one of the last folks to get to it. So I actually like the idea of the entire team gets this. This is on the table, you know, in advance. But to you guys' point, I mean, I know we're cracking jokes about it, but I already see a scenario where you have a guy like McCorm Maker, who we saw last year, opt to go to an HBCU and Howard University. If you got a handful of guys that have played together and have NBA potential, now they can go wherever they want because the money's coming regardless. Why not use that opportunity to boost the schools, particularly in the HBCU conversation?
Yeah, the big loser, honestly, guys, and this is hard for us, you know. The big loser is us. Because, like, back in the day when, you know, these athletes couldn't make money off their name, image, and likeness, who are all these companies going to sell, like, cheeseburgers and various products come, like, NCAA tournament time? It was us. And by us, right. I mean not me, because I never made that money. But now I definitely can't. And so I'm very jealous of, like, Jay Billis. That dude had so much cheeseburger money that I can never get.
What's your reaction to the Olympics going without fans?
You know, if I were answering that honestly, which I probably shouldn't, I should do it like I'm on TV, but I would be like, my reactions were, oh my God. And then I guess like, good, I guess. Oh my God, because I'm over it. God, I know that's such a dumb, but it's just like, it felt like we were coming out of it. Things were getting better. It was like, if you're vaccinated, you don't need a mask. And it's so defeating to be crawling out of a hole and then lose your grip and slip a little bit. At the same time, it does none of us any good to just pretend we didn't slip and think we're at the same spot. We just still have to keep climbing and acknowledging reality. And in Tokyo, there were 896 new cases reported on Thursday. There was 673 reported in the week prior. And that is the 19th straight day that a day has been higher than a week ago on that same day, which means in a bunch of confusing numbers that like it appears as though coronavirus is becoming a problem again in Tokyo. Tokyo has now declared a state of emergency. Of course, it was right when the president of the IOC had flown in. So now he's got a quarantine for a while. This is messy and it's complicated, which honestly, every Olympics ever, I think, has been. We just kind of share it now and it's more out in the open because it's a pandemic. But this, it does sound like if we're going ahead with the Olympics, the right thing to do. Economically, I know this is going to be a mess, but you got to do what you got to do to prioritize public health. It's, I hope, something that we've learned over the last year.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Katie. It stinks, but we got to do what we got to do. Now, I did immediately go back to the athletes of many sports who have voiced how taxing the bubble experience was. I mean, just yesterday we had Roger Federer talking about, or after he lost, prior to his loss at Wimbledon, but he talked about what it was like to compete without his family and friends being there. So my heart goes out to the athletes. And then, of course, on top of that, if there are any athletes that are new moms that were trying to bring their babies, I don't know what any of that means. Like, it definitely takes you back to a rough point back in the pandemic when all the bubbles first came to be. But safety first, so I get it. And go USA?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, USA, like, we are feeling good right now because I just saw F9 or Fast and Furious? I don't know what it is. I saw it by myself in a theater, and I felt like, oh, this is over. Like, we're good. Like, pandemic, rearview mirror, literal and figurative in the context of this movie metaphor now that I'm trying to experiment with.
Zing.
But the point is, the point is that USA, all of us do not have illusions about what is going on elsewhere. Like, this Delta variant thing is real. There are real issues around vaccination. That rate needs to go up. You've heard me and people like me preach about this, so you've tuned me out already by now. But the reason why I feel for Japan in this circumstance specifically is because the Japanese people have been very consistent in saying, we don't want this thing. Like, there are public polls that indicate this pretty clearly. Japanese citizens don't want the world descending during a state of emergency on their country. And so everything about this Olympics, from the torch relay now being like on Zoom, basically, like, that's going to be a thing. All these host villages are not going to be host villages. The entire spirit of civic unity that is embedded in the Olympics will not be there because it is a state of emergency mid-pandemic. The good news, though, is that all the people who we're standing to make money on these Olympics are still going to make their money. And if that's not the most important thing about this entire event, I don't know what is.
Two things about that are funny to me. One is that having a state of emergency but still hosting the Olympics feels like if you were grounded but you were allowed to have a house party. It's like, it's kind of not the point. And then the other thing is that the sign to you, Pablo, that American life is healing and things are back to normal is that you saw a movie by yourself.
Up next on HQ.
And yes, always be honest and shirtless and a backwards hat in your post games, regular season and playoffs. Let's go.
That's fair. That's across all leagues.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Geico. Save even more when you bundle home and car insurance.
Time to play the game that's covering hockey for the third day in a row. Do you question?
You give us topics and events, we question them. Hockey related.
Hockey.
Do you question if Nikita Kucherov should have acted like someone who's already won a Stanley Cup?
That's right. The Lightning won the Cup again, and we didn't even say their name at all in that question, but we should probably acknowledge that. They've won the Stanley Cup for the second year in a row. Nikita Kucherov led all players in points in the playoffs with 32. He was very excited. Let's take a look at the post-game press conference.
From the Lightning, we have Nikita Kucherov. Media, please raise your hand if you have a question. We'll start with Joe Smith, The Athletic.
Joe, let's hear it.
How would you describe your congratulations? How would you describe your emotions right now after doing what you guys did?
I don't know what to say. Back to back, and I couldn't sleep for three nights. You know, and to be able to win this game is huge. Wasi was outstanding. MVP. I was telling him every day, Wasi, you MVP. You're the best player. And then they gave it to whatever the guy in Vegas, the Vizina. And then last year, they gave Vizina to somebody else, number one. Wasi took both cups. I didn't want to go back to Montreal, but the fans in Montreal, come on. They acted like they won the Stanley Cup last game. Are you kidding me?
I mean,
I appreciate that.
Somebody should jump in and defend their fans. It's not going to be me, but somebody probably should for representation. Act as if I totally get it, but also 2021 feels like the year of come as you are. And that's a guy who's exhausted, had a very long year, though he didn't play in the regular season. And just, you know what? I appreciate that he showed up as who he was.
That's why I love this guy, because he's lived the dream. He missed the entire regular season. He missed the entire grind. He shows up because there's a weird, like, non-salary cap dynamic that happens in the playoffs. He shows up, dominates, doesn't really know the names of the other players in the league, it turns out, and also is just there shirtless drinking from a beer with a hat on, though, backwards. As if it wasn't clear based on the shirtlessness that this guy is here to party, the hat is on backwards, which is very important to signal. I love him, honestly. I love everything about him.
Ooh.
Listen, I know that this was a wonky loophole that allowed him to play and be on this super stacked roster with an incredible goalie and Andre Vasilevsky. But the best teams figure out a way to work the system. You can't be mad at him for that. And yes, always be honest and shirtless and a backwards hat in your post games, regular season and playoffs. Let's go.
That's fair. That's across all leagues.
Do you question if this was Shohei Ohtani's most impressive at bat of the season?
I mean, probably. Is it his most recent? The guy is the greatest baseball player. I mean, incredible. He's now hit 32 home runs. This at bat is him. Well, I don't want a spoiler alert, but this is the home run, the 32nd home run. So fouled that off of his foot. The Angels are the only American right off the toe.
Back inside again.
That one was off the knee.
Painful. Painful.
Did that get him again? Yeah, I'm going home at this point if this is me. I'm like, I'm good.
Foul tip. I don't know. Oh, no. I don't want to see this.
Right on the patella. The next 2-2 home. Oh, he's going to get to two. And then, okay.
That's how you come back.
What are they? Wait. That is honestly, I was going to make fun of that announcer, but that's how I feel. I also feel like, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you do if you get hit in the knee and the foot. You better make it so you don't have to run all that fast. So I get it. That's just logical.
What's that saying? From the ashes of the feet, get it? Came rose of victory.
Good. Really good.
Okay. Sorry.
That's good. That's good. Pablo, did you want to get in there? Are you good?
Oh, wait, no. What was the question? The question was, oh, right, it was his most impressive home run of the season. Yeah, probably. I mean, every home run. Like, can we just get like a red zone for Shohei Ohtani at this point? Because every viral clip, I'm like, man, I'm glad I clicked on this. And in fact, like in terms of home runs in his career, I would say that this is really, really great. But there was one home run that he hit in Japan. He hit it like through the roof of the Tokyo Dome. I assume there'll be video that can roll in on post here, but like basically it's Shohei Ohtani swinging, hitting a ball through the ceiling of a building.
Wow.
And that's just the sort of thing that like, yeah, maybe that makes the medal stand for my greatest home runs. Sure, I'm Shohei Ohtani.
It was at bat. It was the greatest. Was this his best greatest at bat was the question, but it's okay.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Marvel Studios' Black Widow. Experience it in theaters or on Disney Plus with premiere access this Friday.
Time to play the game that really wishes we were talking about the spelling bee. See? Oh, no.
Oh, my God. It was me.
You're the wrong way.
You guys went the right way. But I think I went what was once the right way in the studio.
That's, we're not going to accept that answer.
Oh, man.
Tonight at 8:10 p.m. Eastern, Reds and Brewers.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, speaking of the Reds, Sonny Gray the other day, it was the fourth inning. He had let up two runs. He decided that he needed to reset. And so he talked about what he did in order to do that after the game. And I thought you'd like it. Check it out.
Came into the clubhouse and I got completely naked and I changed everything that I was wearing except for my cleats because I didn't want to go out there in white cleats. I had gray cleats on. So I just kind of like, tried to cool off. I changed my jersey, my pants, my underwears, and my socks. I guess that's all I was wearing. And just tried to like reset and start over. So I don't know. That was what I did. And maybe it worked.
Yeah, I'd say it worked. He retired the next 9 batters. Did he change the hat? I guess is my question. As he was running through the mental list of underwears and socks.
This is the journalism we need.
Does he wear, first of all, do you wear 2 pairs of underpants?
The plural underwears.
And second of all, did you change your hat? Monica, are you intrigued?
Unfortunately, I'm not intrigued.
Oh.
I just couldn't see my little. It's cute, though. But sorry, no. I'm going to watch basketball tonight. But yeah, you know, sometimes you all just need a reset. So that
I like the
cute.
Honesty. I like the, yeah. No, I obviously can't watch both things at once. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued because this whole underwear is plural thing does make me think. Like, if anybody is more likely to say underwears as a plural, it is someone whose name is Sunny, I feel like. And also, does anyone look more like a Sunny than Sunny Gray? I don't want to stereotype all Sunnies, not sure. All Sunnies, hashtag, but like that Sunny seems super Sunny.
Yeah.
He's definitely a Sunny. Oh, he's so precious.
I mean, come on, guys.
He's got a
adorable.
Sweet face.
Adorable.
So fresh.
All right, that's it for Highly Questionable. Thank you for watching. If you want more Pablo Torre, what are you thinking? You can listen to ESPN Daily. That's his podcast. Monica's going to be on the pregame on ESPN Radio tonight before game two. So listen for her there. My podcast is called Sports, but don't worry about that.
Family.
Oh, goodness.